John chapter 9, if you've got your Bibles, I hope you do. John chapter 9, we've been going through John chapter 9, and we saw that Jesus had beckoned the blind man to go to the pool of Siloam for healing. And by faith, we saw that he began to move and was healed. And I said that Sunday, and kind of like we were saying last Sunday with the teen challenge. Wasn't the teen challenge awesome last week? I tell you what, if you miss that, boy, it was just so good. God's Spirit and the testimonies. But anyway, we were saying simply, we serve a God that wants to heal us of our afflictions. Jesus wanted to heal this man that was born blind. And by faith, this man began to move towards the pool of Siloam. And when he got out down there and washed the mud off his eyes, he received his sight and was healed. And we can be the same way, friends, healed from our spiritual blindness in Jesus. And then we saw the second part of John chapter 9 where this blind man gave testimony. I love verse 25. We talked about it 2 weeks ago. We're going to start with it again today. But the blind man was being questioned by the Pharisees. And 25 says, he answered and said, whether he is a sinner or not, I don't know. He'd never seen him after all. He was blind. He heard him. He felt him put the mud on his eyes. And he knew of the instruction to go to the pool. And he said to these people, these Pharisees are saying, this guy heals on the Sabbath. He can't be of God. He's got to be a sinner. And he replies in verse 25, I don't know if he's a sinner or not. One thing I do know, I was blind and now I see. That, he says, I know for a fact. I say, hallelujah. Because we have been, friends, if we have not trusted Christ, if we have not surrendered Him completely to Him as Lord of our lives, we are still spiritually blind and we need to see. And we can say, I mentioned 2 weeks ago, we can have the same kind of testimony. I don't know much about God really, but I know He's healed me. I know He's set me free. We can say, have the same kind of testimony. I don't have all the answers about Jesus, but I can see because He set me free. We can have the same kind of testimony. And today, in the time that we have left, I'm calling it kicked out. The last part of the same story. John chapter 9, verse 25. We'll pick it up there. That's where we left off last week. When the blind man said, whether he's a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I know, that though I was blind, now I see. Then they, that's the Pharisees, said to him, that's a blind man, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? He answered them, I told you already, and you didn't listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Now get the blind man here on this one. Here's a poor beggar begging for life and taking on the Pharisees with his newfound faith in Christ. He says to them, do you also want to become His disciples? That's good, isn't it? Then they reviled Him. Of course, that ticked them off. Then they reviled Him and they said, you're His disciple. We are Moses' disciple. We know that God spoke to Moses. As for this fellow, we don't even know where he's from. Now listen to the testifying of the blind man. The man, that's the blind man, answered and said to them, that's the Pharisees, that's the alleged so-called religious folks. The man said to them, why, this is a marvelous thing that you don't know where he is from, yet he has opened my eyes. Now we know that God does not hear sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, he hears him. Let me just stop there for a minute. Thought just came to mind. Remember, if you were here for the first part of it, and you can look in John chapter 9, verse 1, when the disciples said to Jesus, when he walked by them, remember what they said? Who remembers? Who was born blind, Rabbi? Remember that? Who had the sin that this man was born blind? Him or his parents? And so they had this mindset, if we got this infirmity, if we got this affliction, and in this case blind, he must be a wretched sinner. And God ain't going to hear that. God ain't going to take care of him. That's exactly how this chapter started. And this man still is of that frame of mind because they all were thinking that. We know that God doesn't hear sinners. You know what? But the King of Kings and Lord of Lords wants to hear us as a sinner cry out to Him and be redeemed. Amen? He will hear our cries. He will hear our pleas. And He will redeem. He will set the captive free. How do you suppose that 48 men that stood here last week would feel if they thought God never listened to sinners? Because every one of them that testified to us reminded us they were in the guttermost of life. Sinners, overcome by addiction and all manner of things, and they cried out. And many of them, you heard them testify, were redeemed. Hallelujah. He does hear the cry of the sinner that wants to be helped, that wants to be redeemed. And so they have this mindset, God ain't going to hear you because you're just some nasty old sinner. But He wants to redeem the captive. He wants to set us free. He wants to give sight to the blind. He wants us to live with Him in joy and harmony. Will there be trouble in life? Sure there will be. But we have a healer. We have a redeemer. We have the Master. And He wants to set us free from all of that. Now, with that said, let me go on. Since the world began, this same blind man mentions, it was unheard of that anyone opened the eyes of one who was born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. He's testifying of the goodness of God. He's testifying of what has happened to him. And I said to you two weeks ago, sometimes all we've got to say for a testimony, I don't have all the answers. I know He's changed me. And that's what he's saying. And they answered and said to him, that's the Pharisees to the blind man, you, basically they're saying, you nasty old fellow, were born in your sins, and are you teaching us? That's what they're saying. And then the Bible says, and they cast him out. If you've read the chapter, you know that their parents were afraid. His parents were afraid to speak up about Jesus lest they be cast out of the synagogue. And the Pharisees, upon him proclaiming what had happened to him was of God, and this man is of God, and the Bible says, and they cast him out. We're running out of time really quick, and I'm not running out of notes nearly as quick. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, he said to him, I love this part of this story. He had never seen Jesus. He felt him. He heard his voice. He was instructed to go to the Pool of Siloam, and now he's encountering eye to eye, face to face, the Son of God. Do you believe in the Son of God? Jesus said to him. He answered and said, who is He, Lord? That I may believe. Jesus said to him, you have both seen Him. His eyes were blind before, but now they're open. You have seen Him, and it is He who is talking to you. Only two places in Scripture does Jesus make this statement that clear. I am He. And this is one of them. Then he said, Lord, I believe. And the Bible says, and he worshipped Him. And friends, let me say, believing in God, I've told you this 100 times, and so you know this, but believing in Christ as a man is one thing. Millions, billions know about and believe about Jesus. Entire denominations talk about Jesus as prophet, but they don't recognize Him as Lord. That's the difference. This guy, when the Bible says, Lord, I believe, it's not just saying, I believe and He's some good old boy from the good old boys club, but I acknowledge Him as Messiah. That's the difference. Amen? I believe, he said, in you, Lord. I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you healed me. I believe you came to heal us and set us free from our sins. That's what he said. Lord, I believe. And that's where we got to get to. If we've never gotten there. On this particular Sabbath day, you've seen the whole story. Now, you've seen the highs and the lows of this man. Have we not? Begging. Along, well, maybe not begging on this day because this was a Sabbath, but nonetheless, he was there along the pathway near the temple on the Sabbath while Jesus was teaching inside. And so he was at his normal, but which was a low because he's a blind beggar. And then he's instructed to go to the pool and wash and get the mud off his eyes, and he receives his sight. So I can see the lows and the highs. And then he comes back, and then he's quizzed, and then he's chastened, and he's rebuked for the faith that he's, the proclamation that he's putting in Jesus, and eventually kicked out of the synagogues, lows, highs, and then he encounters Jesus. What a day in this guy's life. And in the very few minutes that we've got left, I want you to think about something today, friends. What would you do if you were him? What would you do if you were kicked out of church today for following Jesus? You say, Jim, ain't going to happen. Can't happen. Really? Ask some of these brothers that are sitting around here, like Floyd Wise, who is getting a little more senior than some of us, and Brother Les Kreider, who's been around here. These brothers that have been here for decades. Ask them if they see today what they thought would ever be possible in this nation. And so I ask you today, what if it happens to you? What if someone in the church council comes along and says, you're out of here. I don't want to hear no more about your miracles of Jesus. You say, Jim, it couldn't happen in America. Really? Ask Pastor Les and Brother Leslie Wise if they think these things wouldn't have happened 50 years ago, 60 years ago, and some of these brothers and sisters that have been around here for decades. Ask them if they thought they would see today what they're seeing today in this greatest nation on earth. What would you do if you're ridiculed at work because you mentioned, I'm a believer in Christ? What would you do if you're ridiculed there? What would you do if you're fired from your job because you mentioned the name of Jesus and you happen to believe the Bible is true? Because you know what? People in America are being fired for talking like that in their jobs today. What are you going to do, brothers and sisters? What about the hundreds of thousands in the Middle East that are being driven from their homes, kicked out of their countries? Some of them are maybe not Jesus followers. Some of them are just being killed. But they're ethnic minorities, and they're being run off out of their own countries by the hundreds of thousands. And tens of thousands will die. As a matter of fact, 250,000 people and more will die this year because they claim the name of Jesus. They will die just because of that. 250,000. What will you do, brothers and sisters? Will you stand in there like the blind man and say and proclaim and testify about Jesus no matter what? Or will we just fade into the proverbial don't make any waves crowd and never speak up for Jesus? How about communist North Korea? How about Boko Haram in Central Africa and ISIS in the Middle East murdering Christians like they're stray dogs? What will you do if you're the blind man and the Pharisees come along and say to you, this person isn't of God? What will you do when somebody asks you, where's your source of joy? How is it that you can forgive the boss and you can forgive your coworker and I can't stand them? What will you do? Will you testify for Jesus? Friends, the blind man never experienced persecution before either until he became a Jesus follower. Then he started to experience persecution. We can play it safe. Yeah, but Jim, we're in the United States of America. We're not going to suffer that way. I hope you're right. But at some point, Jesus' people take a stand. They're doing it all over the globe. Some of them lose their lives for it. Some of them lose their families for it. Some of them lose their limbs for it. This blind man was never persecuted until he met Jesus. And we won't experience any persecution here in the safety and the comforts of our homes and our jobs and in this great nation either if we never take a stand for Jesus. But if you do, you might. blind man had lived a very difficult life as a blind beggar. And then all of a sudden he could see. How good is that? I'm blind, I'm begging, I can't do a thing for myself because I'm just a blind beggar. And all of a sudden he can see. How good is that? And immediately, because he can see and he puts his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, he begins to have a new kind of difficulty, thrown out of the church. You may experience difficulties too, friends. Are you up to the task? You may experience difficulties too, standing up for Jesus. I'd like to say being Christian exempts you from all difficulty. You know better than that. Jesus said, in the world you will have trouble. But he also said, be of good cheer, because I've overcome the world. Amen? Friends, I'm just simply saying, we can play it safe. We can scoot along with the proverbial crowd, not making any waves like his parents, and said, I'm not going to speak up about Jesus. They throw me out of the synagogue. They throw me out of the church. We could play it safe. But that's not what Jesus called the disciples to do. When he commissioned the 12 and said, go into the uttermost parts of the world and the earth, go into Jerusalem and go into Judea, go on over to Samaria, and then go into the uttermost parts of the earth and tell them the good news of Jesus. He didn't tell them to go on home and play it safe. And I submit to you today, brothers and sisters, you may have to stand up for Jesus. I've talked to many of folks lately, since I've been a minister, pastor, shepherd, that have told me, Jim, I've never had so many trouble since I started coming to church. I've had people tell me that. And you know what? I believe it. Because the enemy does not want you to come to faith in Christ. And I've had people tell me, Jim, I've never had so many broken bones in such in my life as when I become a Christian. The enemy wants you to doubt the goodness of God. The enemy is okay with you going to church and churches being full all over America if we keep our distance like his parents and said, I'm just not going to get too religious. I'm just not going to get too close to Jesus. The enemy is perfectly okay with that. And so, you may be on top of the world one day experiencing the joy of Jesus, and you may lose your job the next day if you claim his name and stand up. I'm not saying go out and break the law. I'm not saying go out and try to get arrested or something. I'm just saying take a stand for the Lord Jesus Christ when the opportunity presents itself, because it will. And I'm just asking us today, our time is up. What will you do when that kind of persecution happens? Will we just fold, cave in, and go along with the anti-Jesus crowd? I've read way too many accounts of where our children get chastened for writing about Jesus in public school today. No, you can't write about that. Oh, yes, they can. But they're told they can't. I've read and seen too many accounts in Christian publications lately in this greatest of nation on earth. People are losing their jobs for speaking up of their beliefs in Jesus. I'm just asking us today, friends, will we stand up for Jesus? I'm not here one iota to suggest to you go break some law and make waves and make a scene. I'm not suggesting that at all. But I am here today, and I'll close with this because our time is up. If we're followers of him, the same one that healed the blind man when he told him to go to the pool in Siloam, if we're followers of him and we're passionate about that, and the very church even comes against you, or the government, or the school, or the job place, or anything else, if we don't take a stand for Him, we're no different than the Pharisees that said, this man is not of God. We're no different. And so I hope and pray that I and you have the courage to take a stand for the blind, for Jesus, like the blind man did, and not find ourselves in the camp of the Pharisees. Religious on the outside and nothing on the inside. I pray that God's people in America and all over will continue to take a stand like the blind man for Jesus. And feel like the blind man. All I can tell you is, I was blind and now I see. I hope we'll take that kind of stand.